Disclaimer: content intended for a mature audience contains triggers, sexual assault, and rape references. Listener discretion is advised. Today, our topic of discussion is violence in relation to sexual offenses. And our special guest is Dr. Kizzy Shako, Kenya's first female police surgeon. Thank you for joining us. We are honored to have you.
Thank you for having me, first of all. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I am Dr. Kizzy Shako, and I'm a forensic medical practitioner. Mm-hmm. I have worked as a forensic police surgeon for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And basically that means what are the criminal aspects of gender-based violence and sexual violence, child abuse, among other forms of violence. And that has been the bulk of my work over the last decade.
So today we'd like to pick your mind on various topics concerning sexual offenses. And I think to start off with, we would like to understand what is sexual offense? What is a sexual offense? Or what is sexual harassment? Or there's so many terms when it comes to sexual assault. So maybe you could give us some definitions or understanding of what it's all about.
Okay. So in a nutshell, if we just to simplify it, there are, as you have said, several sexual offenses. In Kenya, globally, the term sexual assault is used as an umbrella term for sexual offenses, different types. In Kenya, we have a Sexual Offences Act. So a sexual offence is an offence that is stipulated within the Sexual Offences Act. Okay. And there are numerous different types, for example, rape, attempted rape, defilement, gang rape, indecent act, sexual harassment, sexual assault. So sexual assault is a very specific offence within our Sexual Offences Act here in Kenya. And it is... It basically refers to penetration of genitals of a person using a non-genital region of the person who's penetrating this the victim. And then sexual harassment is more about sexual advances sought by a person in authority. For example, in an office setting where there's mm-hmm. a power imbalance and you have the senior supervisor seeking mm-hmm. sexual advances from a person who's junior to them. Okay. And this is what constitutes sexual harassment. But society generally uses that term to mean any kind of sexual advance or actual offense that has taken place. So it's good to, what I advise everyone is to just take time and read the Sexual Offenses Act, the Penal Code, and the Constitution of Kenya so that you have an understanding for yourself.
Okay, so for those of our listeners and viewers who don't know where to access these documents, what would you advise?
Oh, yeah. Well, thankfully, we live in a technology era, so mm-hmm. just go online, Google it, mm-hmm. and Google the Sexual Offences Act.
Kenya.
Kenya. And it will take you to Kenya Law Reports or the laws of Kenya, and then you can access all the laws within Kenya. Then you just read it.
It
shouldn't take long, 10, 15 minutes. It's very important to know the law. Knowledge is power, so that you never ever end up in a situation where you're saying, I wish I knew or I didn't know, mm-hmm. yet the law is there. You know, ignorance is not an excuse. So because we are all part of a community, you're a parent, a friend, a child, an aunt, and these things happen around us, it's good to know what the law says about it. I also find that the understanding of what constitutes things like consent, when should I stop mm-hmm. doing what I want? When does this person want me to stop touching them, for example, is really blurry. And so it's good to read what consent is, what is assent, what are all those things so that you're fully aware of what's happening. Because sometimes you find, you know, the people say one thing and they might mean another, or they don't know their rights. And so they are afraid of speaking up.
Okay.
I find so many victims don't really understand what has happened to them. So you have to talk them through it and say, besides this, this is also what else took place.
Yes.
And this is how you need to manage it.
What do I do if I find myself in a situation where I've been assaulted? Or I feel somebody has done me wrong criminally?
Like you've been violated.
I've been violated, that's a word.
Assuming a person has been raped, let's say a female has been raped,
yes.
The first thing that is best to do is to go to a medical facility.
Okay, so don't go to the police station first. Go to the medical facility.
It's better to go to the medical facility. A police station is if, let's say, it's the closest and you feel like you're not safe.
Okay.
But the best place to go would be the hospital, medical facility.
Okay.
And then do not change, do not shower, do not avoid taking time. Get there as fast as possible. The sooner, the better.
So I shouldn't go the next day?
If you can go immediately.
Okay.
It's always best. I know it's easier said than done, but it's best for you because, first of all, you'll have medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be medical intervention that will be required.
Okay.
To ensure that you are safe. So against sexually transmitted infections,
mm-hmm.
against, psychological first aid, because this is a highly traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Don't underplay how serious an issue this is. It is very traumatic.
Yes.
And so you'll need some psychological intervention. Also, in case of any injuries, they need to be dealt with so you're not bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the medics will be able to check that you're physically okay, and treat any injuries that may have come up, you may have sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, evidence can be collected. The other thing is sexually transmitted infections and emergency contraceptives for women.
Pregnancy.
Yeah, for females,
mm-hmm.
To avoid pregnancy. So then you have your forensic specimens that need to be collected. And these also need to be collected as soon as possible because every minute after an incident has occurred, you're losing biological matter, you're losing trace evidence. And this is what is required to reconstruct that crime that may have taken place,
okay.
that has taken place. But now, because no one has seen it, you'll have, you know, it needs to be proved that this actually happened because of A, B, C, D, E. This scientific information can then be used to put together that event that happened.
Okay.
So that's why the hospital is the best place to go to first, as where that is possible. It may not always be possible, and safety may be the most important thing. So wherever you feel you are safest, go there first.
Okay.
If you've taken days to report, because some people will take a very long time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
a year. Don't beat yourself up about it. Still get a medical check at whatever stage.
Okay.
Go to the hospital and let them know this has happened, and then they can, the medics will examine and treat you at the level that you are at.
Okay.
Then after that, assuming this has just happened and a medical examination has been done, a report will be generated. That report is taken to the police station closest to where the incident happened.
Who takes the report?
The complainant, the victim, the patient. Ideally, it should be a police officer, but because of our system, that may not work.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to a hospital first, then you'd have to be the one to take it and tell them, this is what happened to me and here's the report. Then they will document it, put this incident into the occurrence book, mm-hmm. so you get an OB number and record your statement. Then you'll be issued with a P3 form. Or a Kenya Police Medical Report form.
Mm-hmm.
This form is it's a police document, and it's the police who investigate crimes in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll need to have that filled again. So you may have to go back to the medical facility, or they will guide you on which facility to go to so that the medical practitioner can fill that in. Then you return it to the police, and it will enter into a police file, which will be presented to the prosecutors to assess and see what else is needed, and then it will go to court.
To see if it makes a case.
Yes, to see if it makes a case.
So in terms of medical facilities that you should go to, level 5 hospital? Can I just walk into any clinic? Where would you advise me if I was a victim to go?
A level 5 hospital would be good because, it's a level 5 hospital, so you'll find most services there. Yes. And also, that's for the public sector. Mm-hmm. For private sector, there are certain facilities that specialize in that kind of work, so like GVRC and MSF.
Okay.
Yeah, so they specialize in that kind of work, and they may also be able to fill out a P3 form for the survivor or the victim.
Yeah, because I remember you said that once you go to the police, they give you the P3 form, and then you have to go back to the facility.
Yes.
And I remember from practicing myself, if you work in a, if you visited a private facility, they most of the times won't fill in the P3 form for you.
No, because it may not be accepted by the court because the state investigates the crime. So you have to be a state practitioner to fill in the
P3 form.
Yes, exactly. So that is the ideal. But there are some exemptions made, but the court, the prosecutors, I think, have to allow that.
Okay.
They need to be able to say, okay, this will have to be admissible because otherwise the survivor, the suspect, they are all going to suffer an injustice in terms of time, time and delays. Yeah.
Okay. Once you're done with the forms, what next?
So the forms, once the police will now have them. After you're done, like the P3 form has been filled, the ideal situation is for the police to be the one to take that to the doctor to fill and take it back with them to place in the file. But where this is not possible, again, we are not in a perfect world.
Yes.
You will take it back to the police and they will keep it. They will document it. They'll document and say that this has been received and place it in the police file. Then that will go to the office of the prosecution. And they will decide whether it can, you know, there's sufficient evidence and what else. It's called prosecution-led case build-up. They'll give guidance on that case and the evidence submitted.
Okay.
Then you'll wait to be summoned to court or bonded to attend court or to meet the prosecutors and so on. Then you'll end up in court at some point.
Sorry to belabor this point, but I have witness that this is where the problem is. It's the beginning. So if people don't do this process well, then the chances of their case going through to court and getting justice are highly reduced. So that's why I'm belaboring this point. I'd also like our listeners to understand that this is not something that will happen over one day.
Not a one-day process.
It's not a one-day process.
It may take a long time. Not long, but several days because of all the back and forth.
Yes. But the most important thing is that you go as soon as possible to a medical facility for them to collect evidence and to give you medical assistance.
Exactly. That's the most important thing. Okay. And sometimes, because of knowledge gaps, we have to work together as a team. And you may have to work with the medical practitioner or the medical officer or clinical officer, whoever you find as the medical personnel. I have found sometimes it helps when the complainant is completely honest, give as much information as possible. And if you see something has been overlooked, you can mention it.
What can you say about children?
For children
who are sexually assaulted.
Yeah, so children who go through a sexual abuse incident, first of all, they may not be able to articulate what has happened. In fact, many times they are threatened, so they don't say anything. What you'll pick up on is changed behavior, changes in the way their behavior and performance in school, bedwetting, pain. Some have bleeding, you know.
Yes, so
with some, physical, it's very obvious. You can see physical changes. But in others, because with children, there's a lot of grooming, and it's by people around them. So the nanny, the father, stepfather, mother's boyfriend, those are the usual culprits, the common ones. Teachers, siblings, some really
neighbors.
Exactly. So there's a lot of grooming and threats. So they'll be told, don't tell anyone. So they won't say anything. But you'll notice maybe, you know, signs of urinary tract infection, so they are, or scratching, they start masturbating, or it looks like that's what they're doing. You might find some watching pornography. When you see such sexualized behavior in a child, you immediately know that they are being abused by someone, and you need to know how to get that information out.
Mm-hmm.
When a child is under 18, anyone who is not 18 is under 18,
mm-hmm.
is a child. So they cannot give consent. Consent is only given by adults.
Okay.
The consent to sexual activity, mm-hmm. that is only given by adults, and those are individuals 18. Over 18 in Kenya.
Okay.
So anyone under that is a child, and they can agree, but that's not consent. So just because they have agreed does not mean you have the right to take advantage of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very important to note that. And even when reporting it, mm-hmm. you don't say she consented or he consented, because so that
agreed.
Can... Yeah, it mm-hmm. they agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they knew even what was happening. Maybe they were coerced, maybe they were threatened, you know. There are many other factors to take into account.
Okay. Now I'll move on back to another topic.
Yes.
Where we talk about the police procedures, mm-hmm. and what would a victim, or what should a victim expect when they present themselves to the police station?
Allow me to just take us back. I didn't okay. answer something.
Okay.
When children are victims of abuse,
yes.
that case has to be reported, and it must go through the criminal justice system.
Okay.
There is no option of an out-of-court settlement or alternative dispute resolutions.
But this is my child.
No, that is not allowed. Something has been done to this child. The child belongs to the state. This is a terrible crime, and it
yes.
must be investigated and prosecuted. You as a parent or guardian or caregiver are not allowed to decide to drop it. I see that all over the place, and I'm like, no,
yeah.
we don't drop such cases. They must go through the channels. Because you need to protect that child.
Mm-hmm.
And
future children.
And future children from yes. this person.
Yes.
So it needs to go through. And I know it may be an unpleasant process, but just think about the good that you'll be doing, even to protect other children from, mm-hmm. from a pedophile or a you know, a predator. So it cannot be dropped.
Yeah, I see a lot of these cases that concern children
mm.
are shrouded in shame.
Yes, I think exactly.
that's what the community shame uses to shut people up. Yes,
yeah.
shame on the family.
Mm.
Like you're ostracized
yeah,
if you
exactly.
choose to report.
Yes, you should have kept quiet. Oh, he's the breadwinner. Just
yes.
keep quiet. Don't yes. say anything. Why are you bringing shame to us?
Yes.
Those are the excuses given. And you'll be surprised many times even the mothers are the ones who hush the whole story.
Yeah.
So now the child has to be rescued, removed, placed in a foster setting or a child protection center. It's very messy. So it's better to just cooperate with the law.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please share your feedback with us on Twitter at Amref Medical. In our next episode, we will discuss police procedures, how to report sexual offenses at the police station. See you then.